We've talked about physical accommodations that that were made for people with disabilities after the Americans with Disabilities Act. I want to talk about education of professors.
That was a big part of my job prior to just this year going to be a faculty member. And I have to tell you, we are so lucky, so blessed on this campus to have the outstanding faculty members that we have, because disability affects everybody. So I think that when people understand, oh, my brother, my uncle, my child has these types of issues, then when you begin to talk to them, then it's easier to for them to understand. And I was always very, very lucky that if I went to a faculty member and said, you know, a student needed a certain accommodation, I very rarely had to say, this is the law, you have to do it. Most of the time you were able to just explain what the student's impairment was and then work together to try to make that accommodation for the student.
I think there's another piece too. I think the culture of Western Kentucky is a warm and inclusive culture. And so you don't want to make someone feel uncomfortable. And that carries over to professors too. They don't want a student to be uncomfortable in their class or to feel stigmatized or separate or other. And so there is that warmth and that caring, that sort of gentility towards including everyone. And I think Murray is especially blessed with a faculty like that. I've been places where that has not been true. I've been places where people did their best to stigmatize the student and embarrass them. And when I came to Murray, it was such a welcome difference that the culture of the campus is so accepting.
I don't see a lot of service animals on Murray State's campus. That doesn't mean they aren't here. I wonder if there are many, if any of them, and if there are any issues that could be involved with having animals in the classroom, in the dorms, other places on campus.
I think that's something that's been a recent issue that we've had to look at on campus. We have very few. I'm not sure we could talk with Velvet Wilson, who is the director of the Office of Disability Services now on campus, but we would have maybe a service animal for a student with a pretty significant visual impairment, or perhaps that was the traditional student that we saw, or perhaps a service animal for a student who had maybe epilepsy, a seizure disorder, or perhaps we had a student a few years ago who had a service animal because she had significant diabetes, and so that let her know when that was getting out of control for her. One of the things we do see, though, is support animals for students with perhaps more of the emotional disorders. Now, those support animals cannot be in a classroom.
Or even in the Curris Center.
You're right.
They can only be in the residence halls. And there is a real need to talk about that. Student Affairs is talking about their policies about service animals.
I understand that recent data says that 1 in 45 children now are being diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum. What does this mean for universities in relation to the ADA?
Many times what we know about students with autism spectrum disorders is that the earlier intervention that they receive, the greater, the more successful they can be. So I think that what we're seeing is just what's happening in the real world. People are being identified very early on as having some of the characteristics of the autism spectrum disorders. Then in the school districts, K to 12, they're receiving the support and the accommodations that they need. So their understanding then is that, you know, they are as smart as students who don't have autism spectrum disorders, and so they can go on to college as well. So I've seen, just in the years that I was working in disability services here, saw a great increase. There was not a student in 1993 at the time that had a diagnosis of that I was aware of, and now there are many, many students. So I think that we will continue to see students. Not all students, even with disabilities or particularly with autism spectrum disorders, do even make even come to the Office of Student Disabilities and identify as having a disability. So I think that sometimes there is still a little stigma in some people's minds. So I think when we have the opportunity to be able to do these things and make people aware that the university is, you know, very serious about inclusion, I think that helps a lot. So we appreciate you allowing us to talk a little bit about this issue.
Another group of people who have on the autism spectrum are people with Asperger's, and they may well not identify, but they may identify to professors in a way where they say, I have trouble with social cues. I may need some extra help. I'm in the social work program, and of course we teach people to interact with others. And so then we would take special effort to help them talk through what they are seeing and try to help them connect the dots. And most of the time what happens is those people get very good, who have been diagnosed with Asperger's, really get very good at connecting the dots, because we try to help them see what to look for and what it means. Almost like helping them program their computer. So I think one of the things that has been excellent is that the understanding of autism is much greater than it used to be, because we used to have one particular stereotype where people, in fact, can be very, very high functioning, who have high end of the autism spectrum, and they simply have a little more difficulty relating emotionally rather than cognitively. Think about Dr. Spock, but these people can be incredibly successful even in high-touch professions.
If you could change one thing in relation to how college campuses and professors deal with and accommodate with people with disabilities, what would that be?
I would hope that everybody understands that we are all temporarily able-bodied, and any one of us could have an episode that relates to mental or physical health that would not leave us as able to do the things that we do now. And I think if we could understand that, we would make very sure that every bit of planning that we do on this campus would encompass the full range of physical and emotional and mental ability, if we could understand that we are only temporarily able-bodied, only temporarily in good mental health.
I'd like to add to what Dr. Monk said, in that if we would look at ways to teach all people that everyone learns differently, there's a lot of buzzwords out there, universal design for learning, differentiated instruction. If we would just think that we all don't learn in the same way, and so if we just think about different ways that we learn, the university is doing a lot of that now in terms of looking at service learning and different ways that all of us learn. So if we continue to do that, then maybe someday we won't even have to talk about people who have disabilities, but just that we all have different abilities.
What are resources available on campus to people with disabilities, to people who are related to people with disabilities, or just anyone interested at all in this topic?
The Office of Student Disability Services is on the fourth floor of Wells Hall. That's a part of the Division of Student Affairs. So if it's a Murray State student who knows they've already been diagnosed with a disability or perhaps might have a disability, would encourage them to make an appointment there. If you just feel passionate about it, I would tell students to become social work majors or special education teachers or rehabilitation counselors, that kind of job.
I think another piece, too, is I think we can teach our students to advocate for and with people who have disabilities. And once there are a group of people who are strong allies, that helps people who are in the disability community get their needs met and get the law respected.
Doctors Peggy Pittman-Monk and Cindy Clemson, thank you so much for joining me today on Sounds Good.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.